Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Alaska has reached 300 confirmed COVID-19 cases, with the addition of 7 new cases confirmed Wednesday and announced yesterday. According to the State Department of Health and Social Services, there have been 9 deaths so far, 35 total hospitalizations, and 110 people are known to have recovered from the disease. It's been a good week for Fairbanks, with no new cases so far. In a video posted by Foundation Health Partners late yesterday, FHP Quality Medical Director Dr. Angelique Ramirez attributed the flattening of the infection curve to community efforts.
Suppressing the spread of the COVID-19 virus was the result of contributions of those in the public who have sheltered in place, our business community who have sacrificed much to support the sheltering in place, those who have practiced social distancing, as well as those who are wearing cloth masks while out in public.
Dr. Ramirez cautioned that although it's tempting to go back to pre-pandemic behaviors, routines, and activity levels, we must continue preventative measures.
We still have no immunity, no vaccine, and no disease-specific treatment. COVID-19 is highly contagious and has the potential to spread like wildfire through our community. COVID-19 still has the potential to overwhelm our healthcare system.
Dr. Ramirez says the slow rate of infection has given Fairbanks healthcare providers time to ramp up preparedness. President Donald Trump says states can begin opening to more activity as of May 1st, but speaking during a video conference last night, Governor Mike Dunleavy said Alaska will relax restrictions and resume business on its own terms.
We're going to be charting our own course that works for Alaska and keeps Alaska healthy, but gets us back to opening up society as soon as we possibly can.
Dunleavy said some things will remain different, including restrictions at nursing homes, social distancing requirements, more frequent hand washing, and wearing face masks. Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink recommended people keep a log of what they do and who they interact with.
You know, I picked up food here and I went to the grocery store that day, and I'm an essential worker and I work at this store, or I'm a delivery person. These are the different places I went.
This could help state epidemiologists locate potential close contacts if you test positive for the virus. Dr. Zink also addressed the importance of increased access to COVID symptom screening and testing.
Very early on, I remember the governor I met and said, how many tests do you think you need? And I said, I don't know, probably 2.5 million. And that was essentially every Alaskan at least 3 times.
Dr. Zink said over 8,700 tests have been completed and the number of positive results is trending down. She noted that testing is important because diagnosing COVID remains challenging, as there are a range of symptoms, including new evidence that the disease may cause a rash in some people.
Particularly in younger, healthier people can cause a series of different rashes. So it can cause ones that look like other viruses on the chest, on the trunks. It can also cause a rash on the fingers and the toes that almost look like you're not getting enough blood flow to the fingers or toes, or they kind of turn black or purplish.
Dr. Zink said occurrence of a rash has been documented by clinicians, including in Italy and the U.S. Delta Junction area first responders and healthcare providers have formed an organization to oversee the community's response to the coronavirus pandemic. The Delta COVID-19 Incident Management Team helps emergency services and local governments coordinate efforts to keep the virus from spreading and to help control the local rumor mill. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Michael Paschal says he and other Delta area first responders had been talking in recent weeks about the need to bring together an organization of the players that would be called on when the novel coronavirus showed up. And he says they soon realized the organization could serve another important purpose by tamping down rumors, like those that were flying around town in the run-up to the April 2nd announcement that a Delta resident had tested positive for COVID-19.
To make sure that local information is out to the local community that is accurate and not based upon speculation.
Paschal is an assistant chief for a local volunteer fire department, and he heads up the Delta COVID-19 Incident Management Team. The group meets twice weekly to exchange information and consider concerns ranging from the mundane, such as where to buy respirator masks, to the other extreme, like whether local clinics and first responders could handle a worst-case scenario.
What happens if this gets to be a true pandemic locally? How do they manage them? How do we deal with transportation issues, quarantine issues? What happens if you have to transport them to the hospital in Fairbanks?
So far, there's only been one case of COVID-19 in Delta, but Pascal and others consider the second to be that of a Fairbanks man who tested positive earlier this month after he got off his shift at the Pogo gold mine, 38 miles northeast of town. He says now that Pogo's reported other cases of workers who've tested positive, the Delta COVID-19 teams focus more attention on the possibility that the disease could spread from the mine, which employs about 300 people. That's why the team's city government representative worked out an arrangement with Pogo officials to haul trash from the mine to the city landfill less often as a precaution.
So there was less possibility of active virus possibly remaining in the waste coming from the mine.
Pascal says he shares the team's actions and concerns with the State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. Division spokesperson Jeremy Zedek says agency officials really appreciate the work that local groups like the one in Delta are doing.
Delta Junction standing up an incident management team is a great thing. They're able to coordinate their operations, share resources, and really communicate to the public with a unified voice.
Zedek says many Alaska communities have established similar organizations in response to the pandemic, and he says those kinds of groups work especially well in small towns.
Here in Alaska, we're very fortunate in that we can get to know people before the disaster occurs. We're able to work together, and that results in better outcomes for people.
Zedek says that kind of familiarity and coordination is essential in responding to emergencies like the coronavirus pandemic. In Delta, I'm Tim Ellis.
The federal Paycheck Protection Program is out of money. Alaska Public Media reports that thousands of businesses are trying to get the low-interest loans, which are converted to grants if the money is spent on payroll and other qualifying expenses. Some Alaska businesses got their PPP money last week, while many more have submitted applications but haven't yet received the cash. North Rim Bank Chief Operating Officer Michael Martin says the checks are still on the way for some applicants.
If your loan officer, you know, not just for North Rim, but if any bank has called you and said, yes, that we do have, the technical term is authorization, but that basically your loan was approved by the SBA, then it's just the workflow of getting the money out into people's accounts as quickly as possible.
Martin says the staff at North Rim and other banks are working long hours and will be dispersing money over the weekends as well. As for the applications that the Small Business Administration did not approve before the money ran out, Martin says the banks will hold on to them as Congress and the Trump administration are talking about another round of funding.
I know there's probably great despair or fear or panic for those folks who haven't heard from their financial institution or who have heard that their application has not been approved, but I think there's more to come on this.
Martin also says Alaskans began receiving the direct federal assistance checks this week. That's the payment of $1,200 per adult and $500 per child that most Americans will receive. For those using direct deposit, Martin says the money goes into a customer's account as soon as the bank receives it. I'm Dan Bross.